Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
Everybody, praise the Lord and happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. Don't like to preach long, let's go straight to it. There was a story told of a middle-aged man who had just purchased a bike. What did he purchase? A bike. After he arrived at home, he noticed a big yellow sign on the front of the bike. It read, "Some assembly required." What did it read? "Some assembly required," and saw attached a medium-sized instruction booklet on the front of the bicycle. He had put together many things in his lifetime, and he said to himself, "This is no problem for me. And besides, real men don't need to read instructions." Amen? And ladies, listen up. Real men do not need to ask for directions either. No, they don't. And so at once, he began to do what came natural to him. Do a quick inventory. Two tires. Both tires were there. Seat was there. Two pedals were there. Chain, check. All the inventory was complete. Number two, locate the bag of screws. All different kinds and shapes of screws. And of course, those extra ones they put in that nobody ever really needs. And step number three, next he aligned the handlebars, tightened the few screws, spun the pedals on, greased up the chain, and he was ready to go with his brand new bike. As he got up to take the bicycle outside, he noticed again those extra funny-shaped screws and bolts laying on the floor. "Oh, who needs those pieces anyway?" the man said, took his bicycle outside and set it down to get ready to ride. He got on, he lifted the kickstand, grabbed both handlebars like he used to do when he was a kid, and put his foot on the pedal to begin to move, but to his amazement, the bicycle would not move forward. I wonder what's going on, he said to himself, and stood by his bike. He put his hands back on the handlebars, put his feet back on the pedals, and tried again. But again, the bike would not move forward. In fact, no matter how many times he tried, time after time after time, that bike would not move forward. My message this morning is entitled, Those Missing Pieces. Those Missing Pieces. Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sparing our lives to see another week. We thank you for your mercy, your watch care, and your protection over us, Lord, as we travel to and fro about the city and abroad. We thank you for guiding with your divine providence our footsteps to be in this place at this time, Lord, to hear a word from you, not from me, but to hear a word from you. And so I pray in the name of Jesus that you will saturate this room with your Holy Spirit, saturate it with the presence of holy angels, Lord. We know they're already here. Open our hearts and minds to hear the words that you would have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I can recall as a kid growing up, sitting in my church, saying to myself, why am I here? Why am I here? It was a small little country church in the bottom of Vineland, New Jersey. Hope this is not going online. Vineland, New Jersey. We had very few youth. No AYS program, we had no choirs, long prayers, boring worship, pastors who were old enough to be my grand and great-grandfather, and all I can remember saying to myself is, why am I here? Who's ever thought that before? Shame the devil. Why am I here? And I remember thinking, not only why am I here, but why are they here? As soon as members would stop singing, they would start gossiping. Somebody say amen. Those who prayed the longest would gossip the loudest, eat the longest. Those who sang the loudest would be the meanest ones in the church. And even the few young people that were there knew of the couples who were faking, the husbands who were cheating. You know, young people are not stupid. In fact, we are very perceptive. We're very, very perceptive to what is going on. I can remember hearing the pastor go up week after week, we need to go out and witness to all the ends of the earth. And yet my Sabbath school, the junior early teen Sabbath school, remained without a teacher. This ain't my calling, I would overhear them say, oh, those young people, that's not for me. There seemed to be so much hypocrisy and spiritual duplicity that caused my little soul to wonder, what is the point of all this? Yes, I was baptized, but why should I waste my time week after week after week coming to see this drama, coming to see this show? After all, weren't we supposed to stay away from the movies, especially on Sabbath? But then, as I heard one pastor say, but then I met Jesus. Somebody say amen. But then I met Jesus. It was during a spring net evangelism series by Pastor Mark Finley about the book of Revelation. I can remember coming night after night listening to powerful sermons on the four horsemen of the apocalypse, end time events, the cross of Jesus preached like I've never heard it preached before, and his second coming and the end of the world. As I went home, I began to pray and to read, and soon thereafter, I volunteered to be my own Sabbath school teacher and to lead out in that department. I began to save the seminar handouts and to give Bible studies on my job as I worked at the local Buna Burger King and at school. And then I felt God's hand call me down to the holy ground. Somebody say holy grounds. The campus of Oakwood Adventist University, and that's where Jesus gripped me up, took a hold of my life, and flipped me upside down. You think the roller coaster at Six Flags is crazy? Jesus took my life and flipped it upside down. Since I met Jesus for myself, God has helped me and is in the process still of helping me to see beyond the hypocrisy, to see beyond the drama, to see beyond the gossip, and he has set my life and my heart on fire for him. He has shown me that, yes, sin has messed us up. Some of us messed up more than others. Yes, there are imperfect people in the church, and he even had the nerve to show me that I was one of them. And that worship isn't about watching other people. It's about praising God, my Father, and my friend for myself. Turn with me in your Bibles, Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. It was so eloquently read this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1, and we'll go from there. When you found it, please say amen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, it says, King James Version, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." What was in the valley? Bones. "And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were many, very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live again? And I answered, O Lord God, only you know. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews or flesh or skin upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin and muscle, and put breath into you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied as I did it. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe unto these slain, that they may live. And lastly, verse 10, So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding," what? "An exceeding great army." In this ancient story, God takes his servant Ezekiel into a vision to a valley filled with fly bones. Dry bones. He doesn't fly them over. Remember Louisiana? He doesn't fly them over the bones, as our president flew. He got down into the midst of the bones. God tells Ezekiel that the bones represented the scattered, hopeless state of God's people Israel as they were carried away into exile, as we see in verse 11. They were divided and separated all over the land and going nowhere very fast. You know, as God looks down upon this earth, I can imagine he sees his body scattered, even dry in many places. You know, recent statistics tell us that the percentage of professed Christians is lessening each and every year. At a time when we should be growing and building stronger, ready and willing to go out to the world and to witness of a soon coming king, we as a body of Christians are dying out and scattering ourselves, separated by race, scattered by class, scattered by zip code, by worship style and preference, scattered by denominations. You know, in some cities you have five churches, one on each block. All of them saying, we're the house of God, we're the house of God, we're the house of God, and yet never interacting, never fellowshipping with one another. Separated by gossip, separated by backbiting, double talk, dishonesty, and of course, separated by youth and the adults. Those old people just don't like us. They think they know everything, the young people say. Those young people just don't like us. They think they know everything, saying the same things, but just not to each other. Yes, God looks down and he sees a scattered, dry mess. But I'm so glad he does not leave us in the valley. Amen? I'm so glad that he finishes the vision with a promise to restore. Say restore. A promise to resurrect the old, dry, scattered bones, to wrap upon them strong muscle and skin, and to breathe into the once hopeless body the power of the Holy Spirit. Then and only then will the bones live again. Then the bodies will hope again and will become a great spirit-led, the Bible uses the term, army a Spirit-led army of God ready to finish the work. It's got to finish, doesn't it? Amen. The work has got to be finished. So you're asking, what does this story have to do with me? What does it have to do with Youth Day today? Before I answer that, let us consider for a moment the physical body. Reach out. Everybody, reach out your arm. We'll go with right arm. Reach out your right arm. Now I want you to take your other hand, and I want you to wrap it around that right arm. What do you feel? What's that hard thing inside there? The bone inside. Somebody said, my muscle. Inside that arm. Was that DeMarco? Is a bone. Now, what do bones do for the body? We have some physicians in the audience. What do bones do for the body? They provide structure, amen? They supply the framework and support. But can the bones move alone? No. Now, on the other hand, put that arm back out. Take the I don't know these fingers, the thumb and the other finger, and I want you to just pinch. Just pinch. What do you feel there? Flesh, some more flesh than others. We pinch it and we feel flesh, skin, and muscle, like me, muscle up here. This is the most weight I have ever gained in my life. Lindsay loves me, amen. Hey. Lindsay loves me. When you compare the muscle with the bone, one could say that the muscle appears fresh, amen. The muscle provides the strength and the agility and the movement, while the bones are firm. The bones are solid. Muscles are much more soft and can change quickly and easily. But notice that the skin and the muscle are anchored tightly together. Amen? The skin and the muscle and the bone are anchored tightly together. Both are inseparable and together make up the body. So what are you saying? God is saying that his body, his church, needs both bone and flesh and muscle to survive. And once the two are together, what does he say will happen? He says, I will. He says, once that bone, the firm, strong one, and once the muscle, the quick, the agile one, once they get together, God says, I will breathe my spirit on the church, and a mighty army will be formed. His power will be put inside of the body, and that body will live again. According to a recent statistic in the book Essential Church, Reclaiming a Generation of Dropouts, author Tom Rainer says that 70% of youth will leave the church by the time they are age 22. 70% of youth will leave the church by the time they're age 22. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are between the ages of 22 and 29? By show of hands. About 30%, wouldn't you say? If you look at all the youth that are here, this small group over the age of 22, about 30% that is left. And if you go from church to church, you'll notice that their youth, 20 in that range, are just not there. And according to a Barna research group, 80% will be disengaged by the time they are 29. He then proclaims boldly that we are losing the war, and I've seen it. The pastor has seen it. You've seen it for yourself. We're seeing that we're losing the war. And God says to you today, young people, that you are the missing link. God says to you today, young people, that you are those missing pieces of God's body. God is saying that you may deem some of those pieces like the guy with the bike. You may think that some of those pieces are dispensable. We don't really need those. But God says the reality is my body is incomplete without you. I thought I'd get a better amen than that. God says to the young people, my body is incomplete without you. God says, I need you. He says, I need your creativity. I need your strength. God says, I need your energy. I need your ideas, your passion, and your leadership. God says, I need you. I've specifically placed an abundance of gifts inside of you. And without you, my body cannot move forward. Ellen White was shown in a vision that an army of youth would be the ones to finish the work. God showed her that the youth would be the ones to finish the work. Hear the voice of Jesus saying, I need you. But I hear some of you saying, yeah, all they do is talk and criticize and condemn and complain. God says, listen through the noise and hear my voice. I need you. They never listen to us. They only want to keep doing things the same way they always did it. God said, listen through the noise. I need you. I want you to imagine for a moment your stomach is upset. Anybody ever had an upset stomach? I had one all last week. Fellow teacher gave me some charcoal. Praise the Lord for charcoal. But imagine for a moment that your stomach is upset. And this time it's upset at you. Because you keep sending down fries and burgers and chicken and el pollo loco. You keep sending all this stuff down into my system. And you're not sending me enough green leafy vegetables. You're not giving me enough fruit to operate on. And your stomach warns you, you better start eating right. Whatever, you tell your stomach, I eat what I want to eat. I do what I want to do. But this time the stomach gets upset and decides to leave. I'm out of here, it says on its way out. But notice the stomach not only hurts you on the way out, and it will hurt you. Your stomach came out. It will hurt you on its way out. But now it overtaxes the other organs, which in turn overtaxes the entire body. The pancreas and the kidneys immediately quit functioning because now they too are upset. The liver and the spleen and the appendix begin to move into place and to do the work that the stomach is to do. But because it's not their function, they quickly die out, and the work of the stomach is left to the intestines and the gallbladder and the esophagus. Are you still with me? Also unprepared and equipped for the job, they die out, leaving now only the lungs and the heart to do the work of the stomach. Soon the breath grows shallow. The heart starts to grow weary. And eventually you all get the picture. Yes, people may talk. People are always going to talk. Jesus said anyone who goes to live a godly life will be talked about. Will suffer persecution, but God says with his arms wide open, young people, I understand you. I know what you go through every day, and I need you. Say that with me. I need you. Young people, I need you to close your ears for a minute. Go like this. I need you to close your ears for a minute. I'd like to speak just for a brief moment directly to the adults in the room. Adults, I'm here to tell you three things today under the authority of God's Spirit. Number one, you need to watch your mouths. You need to be careful and mindful of the things that you say to God's children. While Jesus advocated that we tell the truth, he did not once, never advocate your sanctified opinions about his children. He also told his followers that when you speak the truth, be sure to speak the truth in love. Who does she think she is coming into this church dressed like that? Why are they always walking in the church late? God doesn't want you coming in this church till you stop smoking, you stop listening to that, and you stop wearing that. Don't you know that bashing, gossiping about, and talking down to God's body is doing the same thing to God? And some of us adults owe some young people an apology. Number two, they are watching you. They're are watching you. I sneezed this morning. I was putting Phoebe into the car seat, and I sneezed, and she reached out, and she patted me twice on the arm, and she said, bless you. Where did she learn that? they are watching you. How do you control your anger? Does love hurt in your house? Do you read our Bibles and pray every day, or is it just a song that we sing in Craterole? Are we truly soldiers in the army? And if so, what part of those rated R movies do you take in for your training? Do we reverence the sanctuary? Running in the church is just as bad as sitting in the back and gossiping in the church. Phoebe does everything I do, and young people do everything that you do. And number three, our youth are a product of us. Sassy tongue, look in the mirror. Talking back, look in the mirror. Telling lies, look in the mirror. Our youth are a product of us. We can no longer just talk about it and preach about it, but we have got to live it. Somebody say, live it. Yes. We have got to live it. Perhaps the greatest hindrance to our young people growing and progressing in the faith are fake, phony, two-faced, hypocritical Christians. Jesus said in Matthew 18:6, but if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone. A large millstone, the Bible says, tied around his neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. But you don't know my kids. I do know them. I teach Adventist kids every single day. I know they got problems. I got problems. God never said that it's going to be easy being a parent, which we're finding out every day. God never said it's going to be a piece of cake being a role model, but that's why he said pray. Talk to me. Your kids got issues? Talk to me. Ask me for some help. Don't take your anger out on them. Ask me for some help. Parents, agonize till your knees hurt. Agonize with me. Sometimes you gotta fast for some of them, but don't give up on them. Young people, we must respect the adults in our lives. We must respect our spiritual mothers and fathers. But they don't like us. God didn't ask you, do they like you? God didn't ask you that. God didn't say, how would you rate your parents? God said, I command you to honor them and to respect them. But they don't understand. God said, I didn't ask you that. I command you to honor and to respect your parents. Young people, we must become teachable. We must become coachable and learn to receive and implement wisdom. Gray hair does not just randomly jump up one day. We must learn to receive wisdom. Go to bed before 12. Turn those movies off. They're not good for you. Put that Xbox away. It's going to mess you up. We must learn to receive the wisdom in our one decade old lives. Solomon tells us in Proverbs to seek wisdom. And we have a powerhouse of wisdom in this church or in whatever church you go to. I know there's wisdom in the church. Sister Cheadle is here. Amen. Dr. Doolin, I talked to Dr. Doolin for 6 minutes on Wednesday night, and it wet my appetite. I said, I need to talk to this man again. Brother Willis is here. I talked to the pastor. Yes, the pastor. I love him. Over 4 hours on Tuesday. Missed my faculty meeting. Please forgive me. Talked to the pastor for over 4 hours on Tuesday. And the week before, we talked for over 4 hours about life. And I learned there's so much more I can learn from him than I allow myself to do. Stop looking for everything to be perfect before you come back to the church. I'll come back when it's perfect. I'll come back in them church when it's perfect. Be the change, President Obama. Be the change that you are looking for in the church. After all, it's a part of your own body. Go with me quickly. We're going to read one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ." 14. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling?" And God goes on to say that each and every one of you, young people, are a part of His body, a part of God's body. And He promises that when we come together, His Spirit, God doesn't break His promise, His Spirit will be poured out on us. I'd like to close with a story. A young man lay bleeding on the ground in a pool of his own blood. His head was pounding because he had just been kicked in it over and over again. His tooth was loose, and there were large, dark bruises all over his arms and legs. He was only 14 years old, and he had just officially been jumped into a gang. He didn't want to do it, but the guy who approached him at school seemed to be the only person in the world that cared about him. His parents were always too busy, and he was tired of always being harassed at school. The only way for him to protect himself was to join this gang. And now he finally had what he had wanted all his life, a place to belong and someone, some people to care about him. So he thought. She was just 15. What had she just done? She thought to herself as she lay in that filthy, dirty bed at the local motel. The eighth guy had just finished initiating her into the new gang, and the ninth, 10th, and 11th guys were on their way to do the same. She was in so much pain. Wasn't this supposed to make her feel special? Wasn't this supposed to make her feel loved? Then why did she feel so dirty and used and abused? But at least now she had a place to fit in, right? Sure, she'd have to leave her friends who lived on the wrong block, just 3 blocks down the street. She'd have to stop wearing some of her favorite colors and had to agree, if need be, to lie and to cheat and to steal and to even kill for her new family. But it's the belonging that counted, right? Young people, God is calling on you today. He's saying that you don't truly belong anywhere until you belong to Him completely. It is in His body where you belong, where you were shaped and designed to be. You fit in right where you are right now. And there is no initiation into the body of Christ. Amen? You don't have to be beat down or sexed in or be made under whatever to lie and to beat up and to do all this kind of stuff. God says, you're home right now. And we, your church family or whatever church you go to, we need you and we want you. I'm going to ask us to do something we may not have done in a long time. I'm going to ask if all of our adults could stand at this time. If all of our adults could stand, and what I want you to do, as far as is possible, to move out into the aisles and find a little one. Find a young person that's nearby and just link up next to them. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything just yet. Find a young person that's close by to yourself, anyone under the age of 30. Find yourself. There's some young people here in the front. We need some more adults up front. There's some young people here in the middle. If all of our adults could grab the young people, some in the middle, link up 2, link up 3, link up 4 of them. Story is told of the 4x400 relay race. And the first guy runs around the relay as fast as he can, 100, 200, 300, 400, takes the baton in his hand, lunges forward to the person number 2 as they run the race. Second person grabs the baton and runs 100, 200, 300, 400, takes his baton and lunges forward to pass it to person number three. Person number three reaches back, grabs that baton, and runs with all his might. 100, 200, 300, 400. Gives all his energy and lunges forward to give it to the fourth man. But the fourth man was gone. The fourth man was gone, and they lost the race. God's body will never move right until we are all together. We will never win the race until we are all together again. The body will never look right. It won't feel right. It won't be right without you. Young people, you are those missing pieces. And it's time to finish the race. Amen? Teach us how to use Facebook to win souls for the gospel. Teach us how to use text messaging to win souls for the kingdom. Teach us how to do emails. We know you're not going to do them the same way that we want, but teach us how to use these things so we can come together. Teach us how to be bold and to be fearless for God. Teach us how to be passionate, and we will, as the bones, we will support you. We will give you the structure and the resources and the framework. Teach us how to do it. God says he wants to bring the hearts of the children back to their fathers. Amen? We want to hold you up. We want to lift you up and love you, and it's time for us to come together again. I'm going to do something. Well, I'll pray. I'll pray. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for coming nigh unto us today, Lord, and for speaking into us the breath of life. Thank you, Lord, for the illustrations that you use and for using something so simple as the body, Lord. This is your body. It's not just limited or confined to a church building, but we, the people, are your body. And you desire for flesh and muscle and skin and bone to come together again, to fuse together again. And then, Lord, you have promised us, not to multiply words, but you have promised us that you would then breathe into the body the breath of life. Breathe into us today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray, the breath of life. Make us that army, Lord, that will take over the city of Bakersfield, that will take over the whole Central Valley, Lord, that will take over the whole state, the nation, and the world. And your coming will be soon. Forgive us where we have wronged each other in the past, where we have said disrespectful, hurtful things, where we have done things that displeased you, Lord. Forgive us. And you say if we ask forgiveness with a sincere heart, you will put them in the sea of forgetfulness. We no longer need to look back. But as we look forward, Lord, let our body fuse together. Let those dry bones fuse together again and do with us as you please. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give your young person a hug. Give another young person a hug. Somebody come up and hug me.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.